Thank you, Hardy. Our Thanksgiving message this morning is based on the little book of Philemon, a rather brief letter written by the Apostle Paul. We'll just read the first six verses. There aren't any chapters, just 25 verses. Little book, kind of hard to find. Right over there behind Titus and just before you get to Hebrews. Page 1488 of my Bible, if that'll help you at all. Philemon, first six verses. Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayer, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. And our text, really, I guess, those first four words of the fourth verse, I thank my God. Yet I really can't overlook that sixth verse either. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. That's a good Thanksgiving text, isn't it? Let's pray. Father, we feel your presence sweetly with us this morning. And we just pray that somehow you will penetrate our minds with your truth, that all of us might be uplifted and benefited by the ministry of your Holy Spirit to our hearts and minds this morning. We pray in thy name. Amen. The theme of our message this morning is this. The last time I said thanks, or we could call it taking time to be thankful. And I guess we better start with the question this morning, and it would be this. When was the last time you said thanks to anybody for anything? Now, I don't mean thanks for passing the salt. I mean, when have you really said thanks with meaning to anybody for anything? We could even ask the question this morning, is gratitude and thanks going out of style? Have we been so invaded and infested with the philosophy that the world owes me a living? Whatever I get, I've got it coming. Are we so filled with that kind of thinking? Gratitude is on the way out. The manager of a large employment agency said, I've helped start many young people on their way to recognition. They were all very eager to get a break. But do you know, looking back, I can't think of a half dozen out of all that made the grade that ever said, thank you. A disc jockey whose program got jobs for some 2,500 unemployed persons found only 10 who took the time to thank him. A famous criminal attorney looking back over his career and remembering the 78 men that he had saved from the electric chair said, how many do you think thanked me out of the 78? Not one. A man in Long Beach, California called the postmaster to commend his mail carrier for his unfailing courtesy, his helpfulness, his friendliness. He said, "This morning my mail was delivered by a new relief carrier who thanked me for being so nice to call about George." He said, "That was a wonderful thing for you to do." The man said, "Well, I thanked him, but told him I was surprised anyone else knew about it." He said, "Know about it? Why, the whole post office knows about it." Isn't that kind of a sad commentary on life as we live it today, that a few words of appreciation should become such a news item? After I read that, I went and wrote a letter to our postmaster. Thanked him for our letter carrier many years. His name is Gordon. I just thought to myself, there's a case in point. Here is a man who has served us faithfully, skillfully, and who is always eager to do that little extra. And from time to time, we've thanked him and all, but we've never really taken the trouble to do it in a way that might have been helpful to him. Is Thanksgiving going out of style? I hope not. If we want to look for a model, if we want to look for an example, we could look to the Apostle Paul. He took time to say thanks. I can remember as a young boy, in struggling through the King James Version of the Bible and trying to read it, trying to understand it, reading the writings of Paul, I can remember being impressed, even as a youngster, with the fact that Paul was one who took time to say thanks, whose writings are really characterized by a spirit of gratitude. It's a good thing to say thanks, and Paul thanked God, but he also thanked men. And we need to do both. We need to thank God, yes, for all of his mercies to us, but we need to take the time and the trouble to thank the men and women around us. This little letter to Philemon. Philemon had a house church there in his city. He was a good friend of Paul's. And Paul told him in this personal letter that he wrote to him how much he appreciated it. We need to tell this to our friends from time to time. You say, well, it goes without saying, but you know, it might go even farther if you said thanks to your friends once in a while. I have a friend who drops me a little letter every now and then just to thank me for our friendship. And we could say, well, it doesn't have to be said. It goes without saying, but every time he does that, I'm lifted in my spirits to think that he would trouble himself to say thanks. Do you take time to be thankful? You say, I'm a pretty busy person. Well, Paul was pretty busy. He was in prison, it's true, but he had tremendous assignments, for he was writing and ministering even there while in prison. But no matter how busy he was never too busy to say thanks. Not too busy to thank God for saving him. Not too busy to thank God for sanctifying him and for keeping him. Thanking God for his great grace that made life worth living. Let me ask you this morning, how long has it been since you've sincerely thanked God for anything? How long has it been since you've thanked God for this country? You know, you don't have to travel very many places until you realize how good it is to live here. I was interested in one who came back to this country this week. He's been on a vacation for the last several years. He left kind of in haste. The police were after him. And he knew that when he came back, he was going to go to jail. Now, he knew that. I mean, they made no secret of that. In fact, they gave him a federal escort on the plane coming back to this country just so he wouldn't change his mind on the way back. Take the plane back to France. They came with him. As soon as he stepped in the good old U.S. of A., he was arrested. He knew that was going to happen. But in effect, he said the reason he did it was because he decided it'd be better to live in this country, even if you had to live in prison, than to live someplace else. that after several years of not living here. Yeah, have you thanked God for this country, for your wife? Do you ever thank God for your wife? Thank God for your husband. Thank God for your children. Have you ever thanked God for your parents? Well, not really. Have you ever thanked your mother for everything she's done for you? I'd have to admit to you this morning, I haven't, like I should have done. I haven't thanked her for those times when I was ill and she stood by, nursed me back to health. Just kind of took it for granted that that was her assignment as a mother, but I never thanked her. I can remember in the middle of the night, not feeling well, and calling out, "Mother!" Her feet had hit the floor. She'd be there. Never seemed to bother Dad much, but Mom, she was always right out there. "Mother!" I often wondered if she ever really went all the way to sleep or if she was just kind of waiting for a call. Mothers are like that. I never thanked her for those times when I found myself in difficulty when she was there. For those times as a child, those times of heartache, you know, we forget sometimes with little children how big their hearts can ache. The older we get, the more we seem to forget. But she seemed to remember that little children can have a very big ache in their heart. She was there with that word of cheer that somehow seemed to make it better. Those frustrating teen years, she was there. That sacrificial money, it was there to provide for our needs. You know, there is no cheap way to raise a family. But she never acted like she begrudged what she was doing. I've never really adequately thanked her for the hours of prayer that she has spent for me and still does. I haven't thanked her like I should have, nor like she's deserved. I tell you this morning, maybe I feel this especially for our young people, our teens, our college students. Don't wait till she's gone. It's too late. I waited too long for my dad. Now he's gone. And I can't tell him all the things I should have told him to say thank you. You know, our dads, they just work along, taken for granted. Most of us acted like we had everything coming. Have you ever thanked him for just being a good example? Have you ever thanked him for his love? Have you ever thanked him for his sacrifice? Take time to say thank you. Oh, the list could be very long. There are so many who need to be thanked. But Paul took time to say thanks. He said, "Thank you, God." And he said, "Thank you to the men and women who served around him." But here's perhaps the most important emphasis we have to make this morning. Paul did more than say it. Talk is cheap. He showed his appreciation with deeds as well as words. He made himself vulnerable. He went out on a limb for God and for his fellows. It takes more than lip service to prove allegiance or to say thanks. But Paul was so filled with gratitude and thanksgiving for what God had done in his heart and life that he just wanted to live out his life doing things, showing by the very acts of his life the gratitude and thanksgiving that he felt within his heart. He preached to angry mobs. He was imprisoned for the gospel. He was beaten for the cause of Christ. He counted the cost and discounted the cost and said, "I owe God so much. How can I do less? How can I show my thanks any other way but to live out my life for him?" Does serving Christ cost you anything?
But Paul did not just make himself vulnerable for the gospel. He made himself vulnerable. He walked out on that limb for man as well. And this love letter that we have to Philemon is a beautiful case in point. And it is a love letter. It tells of Paul's great love for God, and it tells of his great love for people. It's a love letter. Personal love letter. Do you ever write a love letter? If you did, you didn't really write it probably for the whole world to read it, as we're reading Paul's love letter here this morning. I've written love letters. We were eating dinner just a few evenings ago. Family gathered there, a very peaceful situation. I don't even remember now how it came up. But my 10-year-old son said, "Found a letter down in the basement the other day." "Oh?" "Yeah, it's a love letter that Dad wrote to Mom when they were in college. The food froze in my mouth." "No," I said, "Paul, you're always imagining things. We've been married nearly 16 years. Those letters were written some, must be 16 to 20 years ago. They've long been gone. There aren't any of those letters." "You did burn those letters like I told you to do, didn't you?" "Well, burned or not, it's down there. Says to Miss Connie Seaman." And with that, in the twinkling of an eye, he was out of his chair and down the basement stairs and back up, seated and reading "My dearest, darling Connie." Just as quickly as I could get my lithe and nimble body out of that chair and across the table, I lunged for the letter, but he was already gone and reading on the run. Someplace between the living room and the family room, I brought him down with an open field tackle and wrested the remnant away before he got to the concluding statements, where I was always my most intense. I knew that he would taunt me with that the rest of my life if I didn't get it. You see, I wrote that letter. It was a love letter indeed. And I only wrote that for her eyes, no one else's. But this letter to Philemon, it was a different kind of love letter, and so it's been included in Holy Writ. And it is one of the most beautiful love letters I've ever read. For it tells of this runaway slave named Onesimus. Important that you remember that name. He not only ran away from his master, Philemon, but he stole as well. A runaway and a thief. And somehow he got to Rome. And there, though we do not know the details, in Rome he found the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And came to know the Apostle Paul, who apparently instructed him in the things of God. And the validity of his conversion is exemplified by the attitude of Onesimus, who now, after having been converted, was willing to go back and make restitution to his master. Some people seem to be under the impression that becoming a Christian is an escape from the past, that you are able to run from the past, when in reality Christianity is that mighty force of God in your life that enables a man to not only face his past, but to rise above it more than a conqueror. Onesimus, the runaway, was willing to face his past. And Paul goes out on a limb for this slave and writes this love letter to Philemon. He asks for nothing for himself, but he asks for this runaway slave. Philemon, Onesimus is now a brother beloved. He's a Christian. And I want you to receive him back just like you'd receive any other Christian brother. He says, now I know that he has stolen. I know that he's a runaway. I know that it's cost you. And I don't want you to have to absorb that cost. Whatever it's cost you, just put it on my account, Philemon. Oh, what a loving thing to say. Just put it on my account. You knew that Paul meant business with that kind of a statement, because, friend, let me tell you this. You can be having the most lovely conversation with an individual, and if that person begins to get the feeling that you're going to be asking for money, the whole thing freezes up in a hurry. You see, that pocketbook is sewn right to our soul. You get right down to the heart of the matter when you start talking about money. Paul said, this isn't just lip service, Philemon. I'm willing to pay whatever it costs. Just put it on my account. Have you ever gone out on a limb for anybody? Oh, you say, I can't afford to do that. I can't afford to risk my reputation by getting involved with unsavory individuals. Well, if your reputation is that shaky, it's probably not worth saving anyhow. Paul wrote Onesimus an unqualified letter of recommendation, not for himself, but for this man. You say, well, I've tried to do that. I've tried to show my gratitude to God by giving to others. But I got a raw deal. People are so ungrateful. It just didn't pay off. I'd admit to you, it doesn't always work out. I can tell you of many examples in my own life where I've tried to help people and it didn't work out. I remember one family where the man was losing his job, and I called and intervened, interceded, put my name on the line, and saved the man's job. He got into trouble with the police. I intervened with the police department, and the police released him. He was being evicted from his home. I intervened with his landlord and his landlord's lawyer, and they let him stay. Not only did he never come back to say thank you, but he never kept one of the commitments that he made to me. It was a washout. That's all right. I'm still glad I went out on a limb for him. I didn't do it for what I was going to get out of it anyhow. And have helped many others with far more rewarding results. Climb out on that limb. Help somebody. You never know who you're helping. There is one system of Bible thought and interpretation that comes to the conclusion that Onesimus, the runaway slave, became a bishop. Paul didn't know he had the potential for becoming a bishop, but he knew that the grace of God could do such a mighty and wonderful work in the life and heart of a man that he was worth saving and he was worth helping. He saw the potential. He said, yes, I'll take a risk. God has done so much for me. How can I do less than try to help this man? And so, on this Thanksgiving Sunday, We are thankful and filled with gratitude because Jesus did the same thing for us. He made himself vulnerable. He went way out on the limb called the cross. He saw something in us worth saving. And so in the greatest love story ever told, Jesus made it possible for you and for me to know salvation. And that's why this coming Thanksgiving Day finds us enjoying all the great benefits of God. He went out on a limb for us. If you're going to help someone, you'd better hurry. Life is short at best. Take time to say thanks. Take time to put yourself out so someone else may come into the kingdom. When was the last time you said thanks? If you thank God for health and for life, for eternal life. I have been made so aware in recent days of cause for thanksgiving because of you. And I just wanted to take a minute this morning to say thank you for being my church family. I really mean it. Thank you for being my church family. For all the love and appreciation and affection that you show. I thank our choir. I thank you for being part of my church family. And Carolyn and Kathy and my brothers that share the platform with me. I thank you. I always knew that I needed you, but the Holy Spirit graphically described just how much I needed you just a few weeks ago. We were at this Continental Congress on the Family in St. Louis. They had, I guess, some 2,000 people there, delegates to the Congress. And they divided the whole delegation into small groups. That's not easy to divide 2,000 people into small groups, but they did it. We met all over this vast hotel complex in small groups of 10 to 12 people. Met with the same group every day of the week for an hour. Our small group. Husbands and wives were separated. The people I met with, I had never seen one of them before in my entire life. Not one of them. And that first day, we just spent 1 hour together in discussion. It was good. It was helpful. Enjoyed it. The next day, when it was time to go, I was detained and arrived late. Now, our group was meeting on the top floor of the hotel in a vast ballroom area where there must have been, 20 other groups meeting. All just out in this big open area. I walked over to the place where my group had met the day before, and they were gone. Everybody else was there in the group that they'd been in the day before. My group, in its entirety, was gone. I thought to myself, was I that obnoxious yesterday that they met after the meeting and said, "Now tomorrow we're going to meet so-and-so, and don't tell him, whatever you do." Now, logic told me, I remembered hearing them say the day before that it was so crowded and noisy in that area that they'd move to different quarters the next day if they could find any place to go, and they'd let us all know. But I became anxious. For here I was in this great group of people. I didn't know them. I'm used to being with you, my family. In a community where I've lived for 12 years, where I know people and they know me, and we're constantly affirming each other, and we feel like we're a part of things. But there I had no family. It was gone. And I didn't know where to go to find them. I started walking up and down to see if they'd moved their location and were amongst this other vast group of circles that were meeting. They weren't there. I kind of stood around looking a little helpless, hoping that someone would say to me, listen, have you a little trouble finding your family? Why don't you just pull up a chair and join our group and you can stay with us? But instead, as I walked by, they just kind of looked at me like, yes, did you want something? We're here with our own family and we're having a meeting and we'd appreciate it if you didn't stand there and stare at us. I kept walking. I went into another area where I thought they might have moved to, a large open area, and they were setting up a big bar there and setting the bottles of liquor out on the counter. And I feel, well, I don't think that's my group there. Better man could lose his credentials in a situation like this. Better move out of here. Never found them. The next day, I discovered that what logic and reason had told me, that they had found another place to meet, and they had left someone there to advise latecomers, and he thought everyone was there, and he'd gone on, and he went on before I got there. Now, here were people I'd never met before in my life, had only spent 1 hour with them, but in just that amount of time, I'd built an identity with them and felt like I was a part of the family. They were my group, my people, and they were gone. And the Holy Spirit said to me, yes, now you know how that new person feels who walks in the door of your church when nobody makes that person a part of their family. They do not know anyone. They are alone. They are estranged. They feel anxious because everybody needs a family. Oh, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing on this Thanksgiving Sunday if all of us would say, oh Lord, help me to live my life a life of gratitude, thanksgiving, saying it often, words of praise and thanks on my lips to you and to others, but may I do more than that. May I live my life living out my feelings of gratitude and thanksgiving by touching the lives of others, by trying to make them feel as though they are loved and that they belong and that they're a part of the family. Let's take time for Thanksgiving amidst the turkey and the dressing and the football games. Let's remember why we have it, that we, like Paul, might take time for Thanksgiving. Paul said, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. I thank my God. Let's be sure that we take time to thank him too. By the way, when was the last time you said thanks to anybody? Let's stand together for prayer. Please remain standing following the prayer for our choral benediction. Dear Lord, we want to say thank you with our lives today. We want to mean it. Easy to say the words, harder to live the life. We want to both say it and do it, and to be among those who are willing to go out on a limb for the cause of the gospel and for those you died to save. It is the Thanksgiving season. May the joy of this time ring in the very fibers of our being. May our souls sing out for joy. We are thankful, God. We give thanks for all of your great mercies to us. And may our reputation be as Paul's, that we in all things have learned to give thanks. In your great name, we pray. Amen.